Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. This is Cynthia Pooler. We're going to have a part two of a conversation about the origins of COVID. And I'm delighted to have as my guests a retired Dr. Peter Cookson and Scott Ritter. So, Peter, why don't you start off the conversation?
Yes. For ever since the coronavirus has been I've been aware of the coronavirus, which is late 2019, and then I contracted the virus myself in January of 2020. It's been a very large part of my life, unfortunately, and the long-haul symptoms have persisted to this very day. So I have done what I can using the mainstream media and medical journals, as well as reports on various news media that I access on a daily basis, including Russia Today and Chinese Global TV Network. And I find all of these most, in addition to certain aspects internet access has been very useful. Most especially yesterday, I spent some time on reviewing C-SPAN reports that were part of a testimony offered in the United States Congress by some very erudite and well-informed scientists who are also virologists. And the point that they are making clearly is that this virus is not a natural virus by any stretch of the imagination. Initially, they wanted us to believe that this thing emanated somehow or other from the caves in Hunan province and then migrated somehow or other to a virology laboratory in Wuhan, whereupon it either escaped from there or got out by way of laboratory technicians and subsequently spread throughout the world. But when you look very carefully with a virologist's point of view or tools that a virologist has, you find that this is a manufactured virus, unequivocally manufactured virus. There is no evidence whatsoever of presence of the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-19, before the pandemic became, before people became aware of the fact that this particular virus had found its way into the population. This is certainly unprecedented, according to Dr. Mueller, who was reporting to the U.S. Congress during a hearing held in a subcommittee. There are no host animals whatsoever, which is highly irregular, which is unheard of, basically. It's unprecedented. And the genetic purity of this particular virus is unheard of or unprecedented. And the spike mutations, that is the gene insertion in the virus, is such that it screams genetic manipulation. The manipulation that virologists are capable of doing using a, quote, wild virus is very sophisticated, and the particular coronavirus demonstrates that it's clearly designed through what's called gain of function to be 99.5% optimized to attack the human cells. The summation is that this is a manufactured virus that has been released into the general public, and they would like us to believe that it was released from a laboratory in Wuhan. I'd like to hear Mr. Ritter's, Colonel Ritter's opinion on whether or not that's the only possible source of the origins of this particular virus.
Scott?
Well, I'll start off by saying I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not a virologist. I'm an intelligence officer. So my entire life has been about looking for data that supports, you know, a given hypothesis or another. And right now, let's say that when it comes to COVID-19, there are two principal schools of thought. One is that the virus is naturally occurring, and that it just evolved from nature and made the jump to humans, and we're paying the price now. And the other is that it was man-made, manufactured in a lab, and we don't know how it went from a lab to the public, but at some point in time, I think the prevailing theory is that there was a leak at the or a breach of security at the Wuhan laboratory, and the virus was released at that point. As an intelligence officer, I would have to say that if I were preparing an assessment for the President of the United States, I would say that it's inconclusive at this time. That you can make solid arguments on each line, but we don't have the genesis moment of either one. We don't have ground zero. We can't say definitively this is where it began. And until we have that, you know, we have theories. I will say this: one has to also look at the data and its sources and in efforts people have made to hide things, and that's an important part of the equation when it comes to putting weight behind one argument or another. And I'm struck at how the National Institute of Health, Dr. Fauci, and others that were working with him went out of their way early on to create a smokescreen about the level of their environment, their involvement with the Wuhan lab in doing research on gain-of-function, work in related to, COVID-type viruses. These are the people that were making the strongest argument that this was naturally occurring. And they were denying any link between their research and, the gain-of-function-type tests that could have gone astray. And yet we're finding out now that they were doing research on gain-of-function, that U.S. taxpayer dollars was involved in this activity. And so I have to take a step back and say, why? Why were they going out of their way to create a false narrative so early to lead people to conclude that it was naturally occurring, and to walk them away from the possibility that this was a laboratory leak? Now, there are some explanations that go beyond nefarious biowarfare. One is that they were violating executive orders, or if they weren't violating executive orders from the then Obama administration, somebody was giving them permission outside of the legal framework, and so they're shielding themselves from any legal, jeopardy. But that doesn't explain the insistence they had that this was naturally occurring. So even though I couldn't weigh out that this is either man-made or laboratory, I would be in my assessment saying that the issue of gain-of-function research has to be run to ground, that we need to know exactly what was going on there, what they were up to, who they were operating with, et cetera, because there's a lot of red flags raised by the fact that these people who were using U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund gain-of-function research at Wuhan lied about it so vociferously early on in this process.
In support of your comment, I would point out that during the testimony given to the U.S. Congress, the Wuhan laboratory was actually engaged in gain-of-function testing / manipulation of the virus, and are required by international agreements to report the gain-of-function results. And they failed to do so specifically, noted during the congressional hearings, in 2018 as well as 2020. So somehow or other, they had achieved their goal of getting the particular virus to be suited to attack human cells as early as 2018 and certainly in 2020 as well. And so to underscore your query regarding how come these guys were hiding or lying in 2018 and 2020, or I'm sorry, lying in 2021, or certainly much earlier on, to obfuscate the fact that laboratories in China, and I don't know for sure, but my bet is that since the U.S. has multiple highly sophisticated parentheses BSL-4 laboratories throughout the United States and elsewhere in the world that are subsidized or funded by the U.S. NIH, working on potentially horrible viruses for a very long period of time. And so I, too, have my sense of puzzlement. It's not really puzzled. These guys were lying, in my opinion, and they were covering it up. And I know you're far more circumspect as far as the use of those terms is concerned. But when you get down to the bottom line is, why were they hiding? Why? And there's only one reason why these guys were hiding, and that is because they had something to hide. And the fact that they were working with a virus in Wuhan, I mean, my goodness gracious, do we not have BSL-4 laboratories in the United States to do such work? Of course we do. Then why were we funding such research in Wuhan, China? I'd like to hear what Colonel Ritter has to say about why one would outsource that sort of work.
Well, I'll start off with a couple of things. One, I also am hesitant about any issue that's become overly politicized. And right now, we live in an environment where China bashing is the coin of the realm. And I'm also leery of congressional inquiries that are conducted in a politicized environment. If you know anything about my background, you'll know that I've seen Congress spin fact after fact using expert witness panels to sustain the notion of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, when in fact there were none. So I'm very leery about giving a stamp of approval for congressional inquiries about politically sensitive subjects in a time of heightened political tension. So I'm hesitant to embrace anything that comes out of a congressional inquiry at face value. I will also say that China is a sovereign state. There's many in America that probably don't like that. They prefer China to be a complicit, sub-colony of American hegemony. But China is a sovereign state with sovereign interests, and those interests, go into areas that are of great sensitivity. The SARS-type viruses have originated in China. That's the home of them. They come from, sort of a unique situation in China where you have host animals, bats, armadillo-type creatures, like because of the P, I don't know the exact name, and others where the viruses have developed in them as hosts and then made the jump to humans. And this is a big worry for China and the world. And so it's not illogical that Wuhan would be carrying out this kind of research. What is illogical is that the United States, and it's not illogical the United States would work with Wuhan in a cooperative effort to better understand these kind of viruses and what their potential is. I'm not a fan of doing gain-of-function type research that creates a virus which, if released from a lab, would do great harm to people. We don't know that that's what happened, but if that was happening, shame on them. But, you know, the United States was working with them to develop, to do research into viruses, to develop an understanding of how these viruses operate so that we could better predict, you know, what would happen in a future pandemic-type environment. But what I demand of something like this is transparency. I mean, if this is going to take place, then we have to be transparent about it. We have to be honest about it. And it has to be subjected to the checks and balances that are requisite in a democracy such as ours. I mean, China may get away with, you know, having so much transparency in their society, but in the United States, we demand transparency. And it appears that, you know, U.S. taxpayer dollars were going to U.S.-funded activities, and this money was being used in a way that was impermissible by law. There was an executive order that banned this kind of research in the United States and prohibited it from being done in Wuhan. And apparently this research was being done anyways in Wuhan. That to me is the point. It's not that, you know, I'm a realist in the world. I mean, I understand we have people who are hyper-paranoid about the potential of, you know, biological agents to do harm and want to do proactive research in this. I personally believe that more harm than good can come out of this, because if this we are living in, if this was indeed a lab leak, living proof that more harm can good, you know, than good can come out of that kind of research. But I understand people who say, no, we need to carry out this kind of research. Okay, then you need to be honest with us about what the research is you're doing, why you're doing it, how you're doing it, et cetera, and how the money's being spent. I mean, that's part of the process of transparency is required so that other people can look at it and say, I'm uncomfortable with this. I want to shut this down. I want to control this more. I don't want this, you know, to be going the way you went. Or let's expand your operations. It looks like you're doing something good. Let's see if we can get something better. But that transparency is utterly lacking here, and that is very disturbing to me, that the people who we trust, Dr. Fauci among them, have lied to the United States Congress and the American people about an issue of such importance. Again, I'll start right off by saying that I'm not too impressed by congressional panels, never have been, because it's a politicized process. They cherry-pick their scientists. They bring them on there. These guys say what they do. It's done by a script to achieve a given result. That doesn't mean the result's invalid. It just means the result is politicized, and as an intelligence guy, my job is to step away from the politics and look at it with a much more skeptical eye. But I am disturbed by the lack of transparency and the lack of integrity on people that we trusted, with our health, Dr. Fauci among them.
Peter?
Yes. What? Pardon me. That's, you know, I agree with. There's certainly, I agree with what Colonel Ritter had to say, for sure. What I would add to that is that in an effort to ensure the transparency of which he spoke, and which is incredibly important with regard to the function of this particular government, there are international rules and regulations guarding or guiding handling of potentially disastrous viruses, and the Wuhan laboratory or the U.S. failed to appreciate or get a hold of the information that the Wuhan laboratory had indeed performed gain-of-function testing and had developed a virus that has been specifically designed to attack human cells in both 2018 and 2020. I can understand that the congressional hearings would select and could select from among any number of virologists the ones that would support their the point that they're trying to make, and that is that China is to be disregarded or is to be bashed, as Colonel suggested that we are attempting to do at this time. However, the information or the criteria that were used by those persons who were asked to testify were established long before they ever showed up before the Congressional Committee. And the list of features of this particular virus are indisputable. I have seen or read other journal articles that were published long ago that concluded the same thing, that what these guys were talking about in before Congress very recently was information that was essentially old information. And so they weren't telling us anything that those of us who were tracking this had weren't already aware of. the question that I am fortunately I'm concerned about is the number of biodefense laboratories that the U.S. has set up in Africa, and four of them high BSL-4 laboratories in Ukraine. Now, why would the U.S. set up four very sophisticated viral laboratories in Ukraine? I have difficulty coming to terms with that particular phenomenon or that particular fact, which has been verified. So where are we going from here? I'm not really altogether comfortable with the outcome, and certainly not physically as well, because I believe that this particular virus is designed not only for human habitation, but the variants that are, quote, popping up, unquote, in mysterious ways are of great concern to me for the health and well-being of the citizens of this country.
Yes, Peter,
yes,
you just mentioned the word designed. Design means something that has been manipulated and
yes,
is not really, is not done through nature, but
correct,
through human design.
Yes.
So what you're saying, what you're in effect of saying right now is you don't believe that the origins of COVID happened in a cave or anywhere else, but it was designed by human beings.
Yes. That's what I believe, and that's what the testimony that I listened to yesterday evening, which on the internet was. And what Scott is talking about is the jump from bats to pangolins. That's the creature. Yeah, that's the creature that they say jump from the bats. Well, anyhow, when a virus makes those kinds of moves from one creature to another, and finally to humans, they leave behind, or they leave a trail. And you can follow the trail. And good virologists know how to follow those trails and how to test a variety of other creatures and sources for evidence that the virus left behind as it moves from one creature to another. These are called zoonoses. And there's none of that evidence whatsoever, despite their concerted efforts to look for evidence that this is a zoonosis, which is, it jumped from one critter to another and finally got to the humans. And then once it got to the humans, it adapted very quickly to the humans. There's evidence that it started with the humans. So the virus that we're looking at now started, the genetics of the virus that we're dealing with are not, quote, wild virus, unquote, but they are genetically manipulated in a laboratory. That's the only reasonable explanation that these people are offering, and they're not the first ones to say so. Perhaps they're the most courageous. And I, Mr. Colonel Ritter is probably one of the most courageous people that I have seen of late, and that's why I'm so delighted to be in company with such a man who has demonstrated the courage to stand up and speak up.
So, Scott,
What's that?
I said, I appreciate the vote of confidence. First of all, you promoted me, so I expect the Department of Defense to provide me with back pay from my rank of major to colonel now. I expect a big check now from the military, but I never made it to the rank of colonel, but I appreciate the confidence. Look, again, I start off by being very honest. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a virologist. and I don't want to pretend to be one. I'm a guy who looks at the data, and I look at patterns, I look at things of that nature, and I would say right now we're dealing with a situation in the United States where we have an overwhelming amount of data that has been accumulated on the side of the of those who believe that this was man-made and you know, it was the result of a leak from a lab. And they could be right. I'm not trying to, you know, argue against that. What I am saying, though, as an investigator, I always like to hear the other side first. I'll give you a reason why I approach it this way. You know, when we investigated Iraq's WMD programs, the Iraqis were very reticent about putting everything on the table. And a lot of people said, well, of course, they're lying, they're hiding. If they're not going to give it to us, it means they're hiding. There's ill intent, et cetera. But the Iraqis didn't trust the process, which was good cause, because the process wasn't there to promote a better understanding of Iraq. The process was there to condemn Iraq and create the conditions for war. So there really wasn't much the Iraqis could do to, you know, win over people by putting data on the table. It turns out that the Iraqis were telling the truth the whole time, that they had destroyed the WMD in the summer of 1991, and that they weren't doing these big programs that people were accusing them of, and had they provided all the data available, which they eventually did, it would have backed this up. But, you know, the conclusion had already been reached, and data would be interpreted or spun with political intent in mind. And I think the Chinese right now could be concerned, because, you know, all the questions you asked, I believe the Chinese have the answers. You know, they're the ones who've been doing this research. They're the ones who, you know, have access to the raw data. They can take us from A to Z on all this. And, you know, people say, well, if they're innocent, if they haven't done anything wrong, why aren't they putting that data on the table? And I would say because they don't trust the process. They don't trust the politicized environment in which this investigation is taking place. I'd like to see more out of China. I'd like to see the data, you know, I'd like to see them try to fill in the gaps on some of the data. I don't want to say right off the bat that the Chinese are innocent. I mean, they could be guilty. They could be failing to provide the data because they are hiding something. This could be man-made. This could, you know, be, you know, evidence of Chinese malintent. But again, I hate to make speculations of these natures in a politicized environment because I've seen that happen before, and I've seen the outcome. And it's, you know, my job as an intelligence officer is to step away from the politics and deal with purely the facts. And right now, I don't have a ground zero. I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of unanswered questions. I have a lot of, you know, data that leads me in a direction, but it's incomplete data. I need to see more data. And so that's why I'm withholding, you know, final judgment on this one. I've just seen intelligence politicized before, and I'm very concerned that given the heightened political tensions that exist regarding U.S.-China relations today, that this data could be, you know, at risk of being spun again. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it could be at risk. And so that's why I take a step back and am a little bit hesitant to embrace any conclusion at this time.
Well, gentlemen, our time is up. Maybe we will continue this conversation at a future date. You've been listening to Dr. Peter Cookson and Scott Ritter. This is All Exits Closed. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook. Gentlemen, it was a real pleasure talking to both of you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Call me anytime. Bye.